Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
As expected, former Vice President Joe Biden landed a key endorsement today from the most influential Black Democratic leader in South Carolina, Congressman Jim Clyburn, the House Majority Whip. He told Here and Now's Tanya Mosley why he's supporting the former vice president in South Carolina's Democratic primary on Saturday.
Joe, to me, has the background and experiences that I think are needed at this particular time in our history.
Can you tell me more on that? And you refer to him as Joe because you all have known each other for quite a long time.
Yes, yes. Quite frankly, I mostly called him Vice President until this week. I started calling him Joe for some strange reason. But temperamentally, I think he's what the country needs today. It is one thing to have preparation. It's something else to have the temperament. I think there are a lot of good, smart people who are good politicians, but temperamentally, they ought not be president. Hmm. And think when it comes to temperament, I think Biden has what it takes.
Biden will need the support of Black voters in South Carolina if he's going to win that state and keep his campaign alive.
Which he says he will do. Biden told CBS after the debate that it's enough if he wins by just one point. Domenica Montanaro, NPR senior political editor and correspondent, is here. Domenica, how do you think Biden looked after last night's debate and some of your overall thoughts?
Well, first of all, listening to that interview, I'm really struck by Jim Clyburn saying that temperamentally Joe Biden is best to be president while some others are not. And I don't think he's just referring to President Trump. You know, I know a lot of Democrats think President Trump obviously is not temperamentally fit, but you know, there's a lot that goes into, I had somebody who's close to Clyburn tell me a couple days ago before we knew who he was going to endorse that he just doesn't think Bernie Sanders is the right person to run. He doesn't think that he would help in the House. He's very cautious about what he would mean up and down the ballot. So that's a pretty important sort of tea leaf thing to read about what he thinks about Bernie Sanders, in my opinion. That's one. Two, as far as the debate goes, you know, this is probably the best 24 hours Joe Biden's had in quite some time in this campaign. He has, you know, gotten beaten up over the last several weeks by his own doing because of finishing so poorly in Iowa and New Hampshire. He had promised that he could do well with white working class voters. That didn't turn out to be the case. He said he could do well with voters of color. Well, he didn't do well with Latino voters in Nevada. He got walloped with Latinos by Bernie Sanders. And he promised he could do well with Black voters. Well, he won Black voters in Nevada narrowly. He had a pretty good debate last night, and he is staking it all on South Carolina, needs to win here to propel him into Super Tuesday, where half the states have significant Black populations.
But you mentioned Bernie Sanders, and he was the candidate. The other candidates wanted to speed bump last night. Remember, he told 60 Minutes it was unfair to say everything is bad about Cuba under Fidel Castro. Well, of course, he was asked about that. Let's listen.
When dictatorships, whether it is the Chinese or the Cubans, do something good, you acknowledge that.
Mr.
You don't have trade love letters with
President
them.
Biden, this is 2020.
Love letters. Well, President Trump, of course, said North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un sent him beautiful letters. We fell in love, a reference to that. But how do you think Sanders did?
You know, foreign policy has not been a major issue in the Democratic primary. Most Democratic voters want to talk about health care or climate change. But fundamentally, when someone's picking a president, they're picking a commander in chief, somebody that they want to see on the world stage. That's the kind of thing that comes into much sharper relief in a general election. And when you think about, you know, Sanders having said sympathetic things toward socialist regimes and then sort of backing them up in these last few days, it is the kind of thing that makes a lot of moderate Democrats wince because they just don't feel like putting somebody up against Trump, who is uses so much nationalist symbolism, you know, whether it's stand for the anthem or, you know, a host of anything else, to put somebody up who will essentially say over the last 40 years, the countries that were enemies, well, there were some things that they did pretty well. Of course, they, you know, you don't like the authoritarian parts of what they do, but there's nothing President Trump thrives on more than culture war, and certainly going to do that if Bernie Sanders is the nominee. You know, but we're in a different time. I don't know if that if the traditional calculations hold up.
Well, I just want to ask you briefly, I have just 1 minute left, about Elizabeth Warren, Senator, taking a number of shots again at former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. We'll take some of them up elsewhere in the show. She called him out repeatedly, though. He did some eye rolling back at her. He also said in the debate that he spent $100 million or so to help elect a number of Democrats. Mm-hmm. Almost said, I bought them. It, you know, seemed a little tone deaf there. Do you see him going beyond Tuesday?
He seemed to slip and say bought, actually.
Yeah.
But, you know, but here's the thing. A lot of the Democrats who did win are very appreciative of the fact that he did spend that money to help them win. And that has been the fundamental kind of problem or difference with Democrats, is that a lot of the policies and things that they don't necessarily love about Mike Bloomberg, they do want his money, though, and they want him helping them up and down the ballot.
Domenico Montanaro, NPR senior political editor and correspondent. Thanks as always.
You're welcome.